And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. The Bible says a lot of things about prophecy, but I believe the most fascinating statement in the whole Bible is found in the book of Revelation, where it says that Jesus is the very spirit of prophecy. And I was thinking about that just recently. You know, when we began our ministry here over 20 years ago, the name of this ministry, and it remained that way for about a decade, was Living Truth Ministries. There was a real important reason why I named it Living Truth, because Jesus said that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Truth, then, is much more than simply something that is verifiable and factual that comes out of your mouth or my mouth. Jesus is the very essence of truth. He stands for all truth. He is no lie. There's no turning of darkness in him. And there has to be, then, a very vital and important reason why God, in his Ten Commandments, said that one of them should be that we tell the truth. In the book of Revelation, it says that liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Jesus said that the devil was a liar and the father of it. Ah, now we see. We see the father of darkness, which is the father of the lie, opposed to the father of light, Jesus Christ, who is the very author of truth. You know, if you were to ask me what name, if you didn't have the biblical names, what name would you give for God? I would just say truth. It could be that the reason that Pontius Pilate made such a drastic and horrendous mistake is that he wanted to release Jesus, but he had such great pressure on him politically from the Jews. And then he asked Jesus, who are you? Who are you? And Jesus was mute, wouldn't answer him. And then Jesus finally did speak, and he spoke of the truth, and Pilate looked him in the face and said, what is truth? He didn't know. He didn't know what truth is. And at that time was. It was standing in front of him. My dear friends, I want to tell you, around this world today, men and women are all born with a terrible deficit. It is a deficit that came all the way from the Garden of Eden. There were lies told there. The devil told a lie to Adam and Eve. Eat of this fruit and surely you will not die. You'll be like gods. There was the lie. The father of the liar, of all liars, told them a lie. Later in the garden, Cain murdered his own brother. And God said, where's your brother? Abel, where is he? And to paraphrase it, Cain said, how would I know? Am I my brother's keeper? This is the way of the liar. Sometimes they don't even answer directly. They prevaricate. They quibble. They try to hedge. They try to go around. They undermine the truth by speaking lies, but covering up And oh, they can speak such wonderful, melodious language in covering up their lie. How would I know where my brother is? Am I my brother's keeper? This week in the mail, I got a newsletter from my good friend James Lloyd. He publishes the newsletter. He has a ministry up in the western part of the United States. He publishes a newsletter called The Apocalypse Chronicles about Bible prophecy in the last days. And I noticed right away, it captured my attention, the headline says, "The Cult That Kidnapped Christianity." The cult that kidnapped Christianity. Well, I'm not going to talk about his newsletter today, but I began to think about that very phrase. The cult that kidnapped Christianity. And I want to tell you something, friend. It's the cult of the liars. They kidnapped Christianity. But first, they kidnapped the souls of men all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And for that, men believing in the lie and perpetuating the lie were cast out of the garden. Now, today I want to talk about liars. I'm going to acquaint you with several. They're in the news today, and I'm going to give you their names. But we need to understand the monumental problem with lying. I think I told you about the young man that asked me not too long ago. He said, "Tex, when you were a student in high school, did you cheat?" I looked at him and I said, "Well, no. You never cheated one time, like on a test or anything?" I said, "No." This was a young man of about 21. He said, "I've cheated before. I don't see anything wrong with it." I said, "Really? You've cheated before?" He said, "Yeah. Everybody in my high school cheated. I don't see anything wrong with it." He was surprised that I didn't cheat. But I told him, only the few back when I went to high school cheated. He says, "Well, everybody cheats now." I was watching a television program of a man. He murdered someone and he was in prison and they found a bunch of lies, you know, a string of lies. And of course, he was claiming that he was innocent of this murder. They found out, for example, that his resume to get a job that he had in some fitness instructor at one of these gyms, he told a string of lies to get the job there. And they said, "Aren't these all lies on your resume?" And he smiled, this convicted murderer. And he said, "Doesn't everybody lie on their resumes? What's wrong with that?" Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian writer, who was called the conscience of the 20th century, he wrote Gulag Archipelago. He had been taken away to the Soviet Union's communist gulag prison camps where he spent many years. But he said something that caught my eye and moved my heart. He said in one of his writings, he said, "One word of truth outweighs the whole world." Just one word. You don't need reams of truth. You don't need a whole library full of truthful books. No, Solzhenitsyn said, just one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Here was a man who was immersed in a system of lies and fabrications that resulted in the murder of 66 million innocent people over about a 70-year period. One word of truth outweighs the whole world. No wonder Jesus and his word says that we are at enmity with the world. We're at war with the world as Christian believers, as truth tellers. And the Bible says that whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God's. Isn't that astonishing? Now I understand. Mr. Solzhenitsyn. One word of truth outweighs the whole world, because Jesus said, whoever makes himself a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Please. I don't think anyone has to worry about it. Don't concern yourself. But I want to plead with all of the people who make up those most admired men list in the world. Don't put Tex Mars on that list anywhere. You know, every so often you'll see it in the newspapers, on TV. They'll have the 10 most admired men in the world. And oh, the Pope's on there usually, and Billy Graham makes the list. He's usually number two or three. Don't put my name on there, please. You don't want your name on there either. George Orwell wrote an astonishing book in 1984. And he also said some astonishing things. You have to understand that George Orwell got caught up in socialism and communism as a young man. Went over to Spain and fought for the communists, fought for Joseph Stalin. He believed in it. Oh yes, this is the wave of the future. The whole world needs communism, socialism, Marxism. Then one day one of his friends came to him and said, let me tell you a little secret. Your name is on the list to be purged, to die. You have been chosen to die by the Central Committee of the Communist Party. What for? He said. They said, because you know too much. You know what our tactics are. You've been here with us. And all of the pioneers of the revolution eventually will be murdered because they know too much. I just wanted to give you an advance warning. Well, that set Orwell to thinking. Uh-oh. Maybe this system isn't quite as good as I made it out to be. 1984 was a result of that thinking. One thing Orwell said that I believe is significant. He noted that the whole world, not just communism, but even the Western powers, were subject to deceit, to deceiving the masses. He finally said, you know what? Whether it's Nazism, communism, or some other ism, it's all a big lie. And he said this, he said, in a time of universal deceit, because that's what it is, universal, it's around the world, everybody's, all the governments are doing it. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Isn't that so, dear friends? If you are a truth teller, you're a revolutionary today. And you will be treated as a revolutionary. They will scorn you. They will ridicule you. They'll call you a liar, because Satan always turns everything on its end. And what's black becomes white and vice versa. And you tell the truth, you are the liar. You are the revolutionary who wants to overthrow the U.S. government. You're a hater of mankind, and the hate crime acts are intended to shut you up. In Russia, during that communist period when 66 million people, many of them just vanished from their homes, they would come pick them up at night and take them away, never to be heard from again. The newspaper, the number one newspaper, was given the name Pravda. That was the head. You know, we have the New York Times or the Washington Post or whatever. This said Pravda. It's a Russian word, means truth. Yeah, you read the communist newspaper, the daily newspaper, Pravda, truth. But it was all lies. The founder of USA Today newspaper, Mr. Al Newhart, told at the time, right after Gorbachev took power in Russia and began to, let's say, modernize or bring more democratic methods to Russia in the 80s, Pravda newspaper began to change a little bit then, and to open up, you know, and to become more democratic and free and all that stuff. And they invited editors and newspaper people from around the world to come to Moscow and see the new Pravda newspaper. And so Al Newhart traveled to Moscow. He said when he went in the building, he noticed something. A huge sign, I believe, if I can remember, it was chiseled in stone. It was a quote from Vladimir Lenin, the monster murderer, founder of the Soviet communist system, along with Trotsky and Stalin and others. I can't remember the exact words, but it went something like this. It said, basically, the written word, the press, is more mighty than bullets, tanks, and armaments. That being so, said Lenin, why should we allow things not approved by the government to be spoken of in the press? You get that? Words are so powerful, they're more powerful than tanks and aircraft and guns. More powerful than armies. How then can we allow people to speak bad things, negative things about what the government is doing? That's his version of truth. Censorship. A boycott of truth. One thing I can tell you, dear friends, if you want a sure foundation in this life and the next to come, tell the truth. Tell the truth. But America today, we have built up a nation with a foundation of lies. And friends, that's not a sure foundation. And I know there are cracks in that foundation today, and it is going to fall. When? I don't know. But it has to. Nazism fell. Communism fell. American empirism will fall. Zionism will fall. Because none of them are based on the truth. And it is God's purpose, regardless of what Rick Warren or the guy who wrote, you know, Your Best Life Now, the guy from Houston, I don't even know his name there. What does it matter? You want your best life now and forever? Do you want a purpose in life? God's purpose is that you tell the truth. You speak the truth. I've read Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler, several times. There's an interesting quote in there from Hitler that's been taken out, and, you know, it's been used many times in the press. Here's what Hitler said, in essence. He said, if you're going to tell a lie, make sure it's a big lie. The masses, the people, don't really believe little lies, but they'll believe a big lie. You know, Adolf Hitler's been quoted for saying that many times. It makes him look pretty bad. He wasn't a nice guy, first of all, but think of that. If you're going to tell a lie, make sure it's a big one. People are more likely to believe it. And he's been criticized over and over for saying that. Well, I got in the book and I found out that it was taken out of context. I got his own book, Mein Kampf, that's been quoted thousands and thousands of times, especially by Zionists and others. Say, see there? Hitler believed in telling the big lie. Well, Hitler did tell his own version of the truth, which was a lie many times, but listen to me. It's interesting that in Mein Kampf, what he says is the Zionists and others are given to lies, which I don't believe in, says Hitler. I believe in telling the truth. And worse, they tell big lies, these liars, said Hitler. Because if you tell a big lie, it seems that people believe you more than if you tell a little lie. And that's why these evil people who are liars love to tell such big lies. He was criticizing liars. But see how they can turn it around? Hitler criticized liars, and they turn it around and said, see, he believes in the big lie. I'm sure that there are many people today who will take my radio program and say, Tex Mars says that he believes in lying. When this whole 1 hour I'm talking about telling the truth, they will turn it around and say, he's a liar. But isn't that the way of the world? There is no truth in the world. And I suppose Hitler found that out. Unfortunately, he attempted to contribute to the magnitude of lies. I was reading a book by a liar, another liar not too long ago. It's called Clausen's Commentaries on Morals and Dogma. Oh, it's a big fancy name. Written by the former sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. It's a book, hardcover book. Friend of the ministry sent it to me and said, Tex, you'll be interested in this book. Henry C. Clausen, 33rd degree. Oh, a real muckety-muck. Sovereign Grand Commander. It's a book of commentaries or his opinions or thoughts on the writings of a previous or even prior Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, Albert Pike. Mr. Clausen is very big on Mr. Pike. And, of course, why shouldn't he be? You know, there's a clear line of succession. Pike was Sovereign Grand Commander back in the 19th century. And as it turns out, Mr. Clausen was Grand Commander only about 20 years ago in our lifetime. Now, what he says in the book is of no relevance, but I was very particularly drawn to the back of the book, which has the biography of Mr. Clausen. And you know, it's very glowing, and he's a member of this group and that group. Of course, he talks all about his Masonic awards of Freemasonry. Not only is he a member of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, which is the largest Masonic fraternity in the world, but he's a member of Great Britain's United Lodge of Freemasonry. Mr. Clausen was an attorney and was the staff judge advocate for the Army during World War II and shortly thereafter. An attorney for the U.S. Army. And he gained a little bit of high rank while he was in the Army because it was during World War II and he had a lot of contacts, obviously. By the way, before I even mention that, I'll just say he was also he's a member of the Bohemian Club, the Bohemian Grove. You know about the Grovesters that meet every year in the Redwood Forest outside San Francisco. But back to Mr. Clausen, one of the key praises for him, it says that as a staff judge advocate, as an attorney in the U.S. Army, and a friend of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's, remember now Roosevelt was president and he was a high-level Freemason, it was Mr. Clausen, when questions came up about what happened at Pearl Harbor and who was responsible, it just turns out that Mr. Clausen, 33rd degree Mason, friend of another high-ranking Mason, Franklin Roosevelt in the White House, and now Mr. Clausen being an attorney, a staff judge advocate in the U.S. Army, was appointed over a commission to oversee what happened at Pearl Harbor. That reminds me when George W. Bush was being forced against his will to set up a 9/11 commission to investigate all the strange and mysterious conspiracy theories and all that about 9/11. And to put them to rest, George W. Bush went out to get a real truth-telling man, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He got a member of the Trilateral Commission. He got one of the top leaders, a former Secretary of State, his name, Henry Kissinger, and said, you're going to be the new chairperson of the Commission on 9/11. Well, as it turned out, a lot of people didn't like that, and they know that Kissinger is indeed a proven inveterate liar, so they chose another guy, Governor Keene, K-E-A-N, of Pennsylvania, who is also a Freemason and a member of the CFR and all that. So Kissinger wasn't acceptable for various reasons. And so Bush said, okay, Kissinger back out, and I'm going to give it to Keene. Clausen oversaw Pearl Harbor. Now we get to the many books that have just come out in the last couple of decades about Pearl Harbor. Newly declassified documents released show very clearly there was a huge cover-up of Pearl Harbor. The admiral that was cashiered out of the Navy and blamed for it all wasn't guilty at all. In fact, they've restored his rank and everything. Congress met in private session, the committee, and restored the rank of the admiral, who at the time had been disgraced and kicked out of the Navy. He was a scapegoat. The truth is, Roosevelt and his handlers knew all along about the coming Japanese attack. That's why they had all the aircraft carriers leave Pearl Harbor in advance the week before. And all that was left there was, some 3,000 hapless victims who did not know what was going to befall them. They were all chosen to die for the good of America. You see, we wanted Japan to attack because Japan was Germany's was their ally and had a treaty with them. Anybody who declared war on Japan also was declaring war on Germany according to that treaty. And therefore, America became the new war maker helping England in its war against the Nazis. It was a Jewish war. Nazis versus communism and the Jews. And we fought on the side of the communists and the Jews against the Nazis. They were two scorpions in a bottle, the communists and the Jews against the Nazis. We chose one of the scorpions. And we killed the other scorpion. But guess what? We made the scorpion that was victorious stronger and more powerful. And he's still alive today. And he's sitting in the Pentagon. He's sitting at the National Security Agency. He's sitting in the White House. That strong, strengthened, evil, sinister scorpion called communism, Zionism, the Jews. Clausen was a member of a Masonic Jewish fraternity. That's what Freemasonry is. It's a Jewish cult. And Clausen was given the job of becoming head chairman of the commission to find out what really happened at Pearl Harbor. See how they do it, friends? See how Clausen got rewarded for his efforts? Because after he left the military, not too long ago after that, he was given the job of Sovereign Grand Commander of the International Freemasonic Cult called the Scottish Rite. A liar. 3,000 lives lost in Pearl Harbor. We knew the attack was coming. But they told the people there, stand down. Don't be ready. What happened at 9/11? The U.S. Air Force is charged with the responsibility for protecting America's borders. What were they told by Dick Cheney in the basement of the White House and the communications center there? Stand down. Same thing. And then a commission was set up to get to the truth. And who was the head of it? A Freemason, a member of the CFR, just as Mr. Clausen was. And they gave us a pack of lies with 9/11. Many people have found out about these lies, of course. One interesting book just out recently is by a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a Christian author as well. His name is David Ray Griffin. He's written a book called The New Pearl Harbor, Disturbing Questions About the Bush Administration and 9/11. It's a worthy book, but let me basically tell you what it says. David Ray Griffin says they're all a bunch of liars, just like Pearl Harbor. Is America a nation of liars? In a moment, I want to look at some liars. O.J. Simpson, baseball player Barry Bonds, football player Michael Vick, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The list goes on and on. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. You know, one of the most horrendous people in the Holy Bible is a man named Judas. A man named Judas. He was part of a liar's plot to disgrace and put Jesus Christ on the cross. He did it for 30 pieces of silver. The interesting thing about Judas is that his name for almost 2,000 years now has been a name of scorn and derision. And well, it should be. One of the worst names you can call somebody would be a Judas goat. A Judas goat. Because the goat with its horns is pictured in the occult world as Satan. They worship an idol of a goat. The ancient Knights Templar, a terrible cult that has now metamorphosed into Freemasonry, worshiped Baphomet, the goat god. Well, my good friend Michael Collins Piper has written a 365-page book. It's entitled The Judas Goats. Wow. The Judas Goats. It's the shocking story of the infiltration and subversion of American patriotism. Who are the Judas Goats? What worse name could you brand people with? And yet, he proves his point in this book. That's why we're offering this book to you, The Judas Goats by Michael Collins Piper. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, they're all in here. I could go on and on with names. All of the so-called Jewish Zionist supporters. There's Soldier of Fortune magazine publisher Robert K. Brown. There's Mr. William F. Buckley, who has lied to Americans for dozens and dozens of years in his publications. And it only later came out that he was a secret member of the Central Intelligence Agency and a member of Skull and Bones. There's David Rockefeller. There's Sun Myung Moon. There's Newt Gingrich. There's Richard Pearl, who's been called the Prince of Darkness, one of the leaders of Zionism in America. There's Rupert Murdoch of Fox News. Now he owns the, or will very shortly, the Wall Street Journal. There's Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Tim LaHaye. They're all in this book. They're all in this book. The Jewish ADL, Mr. Foxman, a liar in that he lies about Jesus Christ our Lord. The Judas Goats, the enemy within, is what Michael Collins Piper calls these evil people. Documented. You've got to have this book. 365 pages, $25. 365 pages, $25. Now please add $4 shipping and handling. Ask for The Judas Goats. It's the newest book by Michael Collins Piper. Order it by phoning us toll free. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can go on our website. That is powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com. That's, of course, all one word naturally, conspiracyworld.com or powerofprophecy.com. And you can order the book, The Judas Goats, $29, and that covers shipping and handling. You can write to us and send us $29 and just put a little sticky note or something in there, a little scrap of paper, and say, Tex, send me the book, Judas Goats. And even if you can't remember the author's name, Michael Collins Piper, well, we'll remember it right here and we'll take care of you. Judas Goats, $29. And that's postpaid for Judas Goats. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I want to mention something also to those of you who have been so good to give us love gifts into the ministry. We have been able to purchase medical insurance for our staff here, and I appreciate that. you know, there are some exceptions, and they'll have to pay all the, what do you call it, you know, the money up front, yeah, the deductibles and all those things, but never before have we had medical insurance and we're able to help them with that, and that's because of your goodness. You know, one of the things that I want you to know here at the ministry is Wanda and I do not receive a salary, and we do not have, we don't get any royalties for our books or our videos or tapes. What Wanda and I do in this ministry is see how things go. We pay all the bills in the ministry. We pay all the salaries. We pay for everything. And then if there's money left over, then, well, that's what we get. You know, that's how the ministry sort of works. We get what's left over. And if there's nothing left over, well, we don't get anything. So that's why we appreciate your gifts. Your gifts, well, they help Wanda and I to live. We do have to eat and, you know, pay our utility bills at home and our gasoline for our car and all those things. The ministry does not pay for our medical insurance of Wanda and I. It doesn't pay for our life insurance. We have no pension plan. That's right, no retirement plan, nor do our employees, unfortunately. And some of them have worked here for a long, long time. But Wanda and I don't have those kinds of things here. We don't get paid so much of a travel allowance, you know, or a telephone thing, you know, or so much money for our gas. How do we do it? Well, because you've been so good to the ministry, we've been able to keep our heads above water here. But that's what Wanda and I do. Ever so often, we look at the receipts and look at the expenses, and if we're able, we take some home. That's about it. Other people say, Tex, you're sort of stupid. You're a best-selling author. Why don't you get a royalty for your books? Well, we used to, but about 10 years ago, we just said, well, you know what? We're going to depend on our good friends out there. If they don't like what we're doing, well, we won't have anything to eat, I guess. We'll have to go to the Salvation Army and start begging. But we haven't had to do that. And the last 10 years, we've just depended on your love gifts to this ministry for Wanda and I. Generally, what has happened is the income that we get from the sale of books and such goes into the ministry. And I must be very frank with you, and we really haven't had a profit. I think a couple of years out of 10, maybe we've had a profit, so-called, in terms of that. So it's your love gifts that sort of pull us through, and we appreciate that so much. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't get much recognition for that. But you know what? I know God has a record in heaven. He does. And someday we all have to give account of what we've done on this earth. And you know what? God's going to say, well, I see some good things you've done here, my good friend. And every cent you give to Power Prophecy Ministries, I think is going to be on that little, what would you call it? The master accounting sheet in heaven? I believe that. And it's not only this ministry. Maybe you're giving to other ministries as well. But I want to tell you, we do use your money for good. We're good stewards here. I think the people here at the ministry will tell you, every once in a while, we have little meetings here, and we talk about how we can save more money, how we can cut our expenses. Every day, we even watch the utilities. We go around and check all the thermostats on the wall when we leave, especially on the weekend and all those things. We watch everything. We get the best bargains we can, even when we go to the office supply stores. But that's what we should do. This is God's money, and we treat it that way. So again, thank you so much. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about, well, unfortunately, the subject of liars today. Satan being the father of liars, but he sure has a lot of kids. He has a lot of children out there. Let's just look at what our society is built on today. Take the area of sports. Some of you may not know much about what's going on in sports, but you know, when I was a kid, I'm sure there were some liars out there, but they just didn't seem to be so many as there are today. Take baseball. You baseball fans may get mad at me, but you know, all these people taking steroids, they're just a pack of liars. Isn't that really what they're doing? They're cheating. They're cheating. How can you break so-called Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth, Roger Maris' home run record. When you buff yourself up and you weigh 50 pounds more than them, you got all these muscles and everything because you take illegal drugs. You're breaking the law. You're destroying your body with these steroids, and then you break a record and you say, look how great I am. No, I say shame on you. Barry Bonds, for example. Now, I'll have to say I'm not a big baseball fan. I used to be when I was a young man, and I thought people like Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle were just great people. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but I'll tell you something. As far as I know, they weren't taking steroids back then. Barry Bonds, look at a picture of him. When he first started playing baseball, he was just a skinny guy. Now he's a huge behemoth, huge guy. He's about three times the size of a Mickey Mantle or Roger Maris. And now he's breaking Hank Aaron's all-time home run record. Oh, yeah, sure. Gobble up enough steroids and you can break plenty of records. Then we go over to football. Michael Vick, oh, how many tens of millions of dollars in his contract? Now we find out he's a monster. He's a monster. He's killed how many dogs? We don't even know. Pit bulls. These pit bull fights. He's the mastermind behind a whole ring. It's his money. His so-called company. By the way, the name of his company that bought pit bulls and put them to fighting each other and killing each other was named Bad News Company. That's the name of his company. Bad News. But Michael Vick, when he was found out and they went to his 4-acre mansion and they found all these dead dogs, and then they had witnesses that said that Michael Vick himself was seen murdering these dogs. They electrocuted some of them when they lost, you see. As punishment, and probably to please all the people there were watching, they got their kicks out of seeing the life snuffed out of these poor dogs. They were losers. They deserved it. They were body slammed. They were hung by a rope till dead. Some of them were electrocuted to death. Some of them were put in vats and drowned while everybody watched and cheered. Monsters. In the Old Testament, God says, all those who hate me love death. I'm reading a guy's column who says he's a Christian. Says he's a Christian. Used to call himself Prime Time when he played for the Dallas Cowboys. Name was Deion. Deion Sanders, he was a defensive back for Dallas Cowboys, and he won all kind of awards. He recently wrote a column for a Florida newspaper. The way it sounded was Deion Sanders, who now says he's a born-again Christian. Oh, yeah. But he says, hey, Vic's getting a raw deal. I'm paraphrasing him. Well, I bet Michael Vick loved those dogs, the winners. I bet he loved those dogs, the ones that won those pit bulls. We shouldn't judge him too harshly. Oh, no. You kill 50 or 60 dogs, you massacre them. Horrible execution methods, just for the fun of it. We shouldn't be too harsh on him. I bet he loved the winning dogs. You know what I think? I think Deion Sanders is an evil man. No wonder Jesus says that someday many people will go up to heaven, and on judgment day they will declare, Lord, look at everything we did in your name. Well, we were your disciples on earth. We did all these wonderful things in your name. And Jesus said he will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Michael Vick says, I didn't do it. I didn't know what was going on my own property. Well, it was my cousin or something. Oh, yeah, they sure ill-served me. But these witnesses say he was there. He's a liar. Barry Bonds, Michael Vick, Deion Sanders, who justifies the liars. And let me tell you something, friends. Anyone who justifies a liar is themselves a liar. then we get to our attorney general. We move from sports to politics, so-called. You know how to tell when a politician is lying, the old saying goes? Anytime their mouth moves. Reading from USA Today, newspaper, July 29, 2007, headline, Perjury Probe Sought for Attorney General. They're probing into whether or how many lies Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez told. He's been to Congress before, but he's lied so many times, and now he's been caught. And they've issued a citation because of this perjury. The problem is the citation of Congress, the condemnation for contempt of Congress goes to who else? The Attorney General of the United States. They don't have their own Attorney General. They don't have any prosecutors at Congress, so it goes over to Gonzalez. Is he supposed to prosecute himself? Of course not. It's all a big joke. You know what, those congressmen? They're liars too. They're perpetrating a fraud on America. Here's from Time.com, Time Magazine, its online version of its magazine. The headline, Gonzalez digs a deeper hole. Everything he says, he's digging a deeper hole. He's a liar. Liar, liar. But the lies go on. They go on and on and on. A web of deceit, a spider's web of deceit, has surrounded all of America with these liars. Now, we've seen two classic examples just recently in the U.S. military, unfortunately. Oh, yes, the Pentagon has been made into liars. You know, when I went to officer training school, on about the first or second day, there I was, an officer's trainee, and we had he was a training instructor. I remember him very well, a striking captain. It looked like he had just come out of one of those posters, you know, joined the U.S. Air Force. Handsome, tall captain. His uniform was just, you know, perfect in every way. Wouldn't a bit of dust on his spit-shine shoes, and his belt buckle was polished, and of course he informed all of we young officer cadets that we were, by the time a few weeks had come around, we were going to look just like him in our uniform and dress. But he said to us, but the most important is not the way I look, but the way I behave. That's what he told us. He said, as an officer, there are things you will not do, and if you do, it's unacceptable. He said, one of them is telling the truth. That's acceptable. What's not acceptable? Telling a lie. If during your 90 days, that's only 90 days, but if during your 90 days here at officer training school, if at any time you're ever caught in a lie, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant, even if it's something you say, well, I was only quibbling, I was only stretching, it's only a little bitty fabrication. He said, you will be out of here. He said, we don't need a board to meet. We don't need any justification. You tell a lie, you will not become an officer. And he asked us, he said, is there anyone here that's going to be telling a lie in the next 90 days? Step forward. I'd like to go ahead and save the U.S. Air Force and the taxpayers some money by discharging you this moment. I'll take you right over to the personnel office, he said. Are there any liars here? Anyone that's planning or even thinking of telling a lie in the next 90 days? Well, nobody stepped forward. But it was interesting, about the 75th day of training, I was in the dormitory, and I saw one of the students there packing up his bags. And I went down and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm leaving. They're discharging me. Yeah, I said, you're kidding me. No. This man was one of the highest of the cadets ranked. He was like second academically in my whole class of like 1,200 cadets. He was ranked second. He had a master's degree from MIT University. He was one of the sharpest guys in the marching and the drill and all those things. I said, well, what are they kicking you out for? He looked at me and he said, I said something that proved not to be true. I said, well, what was it? He said, well, it wasn't a big thing, but they got me on it. Wow. They meant what they said. Today, unfortunately, our U.S. military has been so badgered and eaten up, it's becoming a habitat of liars. Of liars, of truth stretchers. If it wasn't so, then they wouldn't be going along with George W. Bush. Some in the military, high-ranking officers, have refused to go along with Bush's lies. They chose to retire. I know their names. But I still think they're liars. You know why? When they got out, they just sort of, you know, like General MacArthur said, the old soldiers never die, they just fade away. They just faded away into the woodwork. Well, we don't want bad publicity. Well, we don't want to get in trouble now that we're retired. We'll just sort of retire, take our 3 stars or 4 stars. They're still liars. They're acquiescing. They're covering up. They're hiding the lies. You know, the Pentagon set up a whole office of liars. OL. Let's just call it the Office of Liars. You say, Tex, I don't believe you. Yeah, the Office for Liars was set up in the Pentagon. You say, Tex, can you prove that? Well, of course I can prove it. I wouldn't be telling you. There are several offices in the Pentagon that are designed intentionally to bring together a bunch of liars and lie to Americans. Let's talk about those a little bit. Here's a headline from my good friend Alex Jones' website, PrisonPlanet.com, dated October 31, 2006. Picture on the front cover of this article of Donald Rumsfeld, who was the Secretary of Defense at the time. Headline says, Pentagon will quote-unquote catapult the propaganda via U.S. media. Catapult the propaganda. Launch it almost out into space. Catapult the propaganda. Says a military government indoctrination wing formally declares psychological warfare on the American people. The Pentagon formally declared that it would engage in propaganda and indoctrination by using the internet and media to, quote, set the record straight, end quote, on the war on terror. They even set up a government agency called the Office of Strategic Influence. They're not happy with what some of them in the news media were saying about the Pentagon and Bush's war in Iraq. So they decided to set up a war to put out their own news releases, their own propaganda called the Office of Strategic Influence. Then, of course, Pentagon also set up an office called that had a program called Total Information Awareness. And they had seminars of high-ranking officers to discover how they could best manage knowledge. Knowledge management, they call it. What they meant was the knowledge that's getting out to people. Propaganda. The Pentagon, of course, has an entire bureau or organization called the Psychological Operations Command, or PSYOPs. Get that? Psychological Operations Command. And it was found, and I read this in Time Magazine and Newsweek, that this PSYOPs, this Pentagon Propaganda Bureau, this Psychological Operations Command, had placed its operatives, wearing civilian clothes, in the very news offices of CNN, that's Cable News Network's Atlanta, Georgia headquarters. You gotta be kidding me. The Psychological Operations Command of the Pentagon place its own operatives inside Cable News Network's Atlanta, Georgia headquarters. There they planted fake stories and propaganda to deceive Americans and the whole world. Wow. Wow. It says here, according to the Associated Press, the military psychological operatives inside CNN were running what was described as a, quote, vast psychological warfare operation. Then in October 2005, government investigators of the GAO, an arm of Congress, concluded that the Bush administration had a secret policy of paying off influential journalists throughout America to plant fake news and a positive spin on Bush policies. They concluded that, quote, the administration has disseminated covert propaganda in the United States. By the way, there's a 1951 law. It's a criminal act to plant propaganda and fake news stories. Not only that, but listen to this. Listen, you won't even believe what I'm going to tell you now. The government has spent hundreds of millions of dollars, our taxpayer dollars. It's been given to public relations and advertising firms. And you know what they've been doing for the ever since the Bush administration took office almost 7 years ago? They act like they're a real news operation, you know, like your local news. You know, the man and the woman are the anchors. And they made up a fake TV station, KXY News or whatever. And they'll have the news and they'll act like it's, you know, from, you know, somewhere in the United States. And they send out, they call them VNR, video news releases. Pre-packaged news reports. And it looks like a TV anchor, two anchors, a man and a woman. You know, there they are reporting the news. And it's, you know, like 4 or 5 minute little segments, these video news releases. And they've been sent out to thousands of TV stations around America. And many of these TV stations actually think it's real news organizations. And they're, and during their news plans or news programs, here comes a VNR. It's our government doing it. This is what they did in Russia during this communist period, what they did in Nazi Germany, what they're no doubt doing in Zionist Israel today. Video news releases broadcast without any acknowledgement by local stations across the country that it was government propaganda. We thought it was legitimate news organizations, televisions, news reporting from around the country. But that's not the ultimate. Next week, we're going to have Alex Jones on, and we're going to talk about something very important. The case of Corporal Pat Tillman, NFL lineman. He went into the war in Afghanistan. He was murdered. Why? Evidently, he was going to tell the truth about what was going on. Then there was young Jessica Lynch. They made her into a hero, but she said, I'm no hero. They lied about her too. Next week, we're going to talk about Jessica Lynch. We're going to talk about the murder of Pat Tillman. We're going to go deeper into this web of deceit with my good friend, Alex Jones. Friends, until next week, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in here on Worldwide Christian Radio. Tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.